From Economics Matters by Lawrence Kotlikoff. SEC, Bessent, your bond market band-aid can't hide our ugly pig $40 trillion in federal debt. Economics Matters blog / podcast / financial riddler / maxi fi puzzler. Your well-deserved claim to financial fame was leading to wildly successful runs, one against the British government's defense of the pound and one against the Japanese government's defense of the yen. But what goes around comes around. The market is now running, not on the dollar, but on US treasuries. And you're the government official playing defense against the financial world's offense, which knows, as you know, that you are armed with spitballs. Acme. There are $31 trillion worth of US short, medium, and long-term treasuries in the market. Of this, $27 trillion in treasuries is potentially available for purchase. The remaining $4 trillion is held by the Fed. You have, without violating the Treasury's free float rule, at most $130 billion to spend annually to buy back treasuries to raise their prices and lower their yields interest rates. That's less than one half of 1% of the $27 trillion in treasuries that global private actors could and would, in a panic, dump sell. Of the $27 trillion, $9 trillion is held by foreigners. Of the $9 trillion, $633 billion is held by China. So, China alone has five times your firepower when it comes to their ability to kill versus your ability to rescue the treasury market. Were the Chinese government to noticeably accelerate its ongoing substantial divestment of treasuries, others would likely pile on, potentially sending bond prices crashing, interest rates soaring, and the US stock, housing, and other financial markets plunging. That's surely your worst nightmare. Canada, BTW, has $456 billion in treasuries. Most of these bonds are privately held, that is, owned by individual Canadians. These folk were our brothers and sisters in war and peace. We fought with them, we visited with them, we traded with them, we parted with them. Hell, we even married them. They loved us and we loved them. No more. Now they view us as a threat to their economy and, indeed, their sovereignty. What if Canadians wake up tomorrow Monday morning and decide that Saturday's imposition of 50% tariffs on a massive number of Canadian goods, from alcohol to cars to steel, to aluminum to cement, to thereby WHO must be feared, President Trump wasn't cricket? What if an influencer, named Brittle Start with millions of followers, tells them buy Canadian means swapping your US treasuries today for Canadian treasuries? That could lead many pissed off Canadians to dump billions of treasuries tomorrow. It could also lead many a young Scott Bessent around the world to run on, including short, not just US 30-year treasuries, but the entire US financial system. That includes the dollar, which took another hit at the end of the week. But the first target would likely be our insurance industry. As you know, the industry has, under your watch, loaded up on increasingly troubled private credits, which are as transparent as the CDO2s issued before the Great Recession. That's surely part of your 2008 all over again nightmare. Beyond your $130 billion pea shooter, you can sell bonds to raise money to buy bonds. In this case, you want to position your buy side and sell side traders at opposite ends of your trading floor and have them whistle Dixie to each other as they spend their day swapping positions. That is, doing something individually and nothing collectively. As Peter Coy just explained in his terrific Substack post, Economics for Everyone, your $4 billion pre-announced purchase of 30-year treasuries temporarily lowered that rate from 5.34% to 5.18%. But the next day, market bond sales raised it back to 5.27%. So, you spent $4 billion of US taxpayer money to achieve a 5 basis point reduction in a 30-year yield. Congrats. And the 5 basis point reduction surely won't last. There are too many sellers out there for your blip in purchases to matter. Of course, the biggest seller is you. Treasury daily bond sales, to finance the federal deficit, average $5.5 billion. Yes, you can, as you did, focus on the long end of the maturity structure. But, as you saw, the 10-year Treasury's price fell as the 30-year Treasury's price rose for a day or two. Your finger in one part of the maturity structure dike lowered rates there, but raised rates elsewhere. Moreover, the 30-year mortgage rate finished the week at 6.65%. You managed to lower it from 6.67%. Again, congrats. The Fed doesn't need to sell treasuries to get money to buy treasuries. It can simply print money to buy treasuries. But the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, wants to shrink the Fed's balance sheet. According to the president, he certainly wants to cut rates, and Warsh would not have gotten the job if he didn't want to cut rates. Wash is squaring this circle by claiming he wants to lower short rates while raising long rates, that is, sell long-duration treasuries, buy short-duration TRISU, rise and, on balance, sell more than he buys. This means, of course, that he wants to sell, not buy treasuries. Doing so will raise the interest rates you're trying to lower. This is the opposite of what he pledged he'd do in auditioning for the job with the president. In short, Walsh wants to steepen the treasury yield curve whereas you want to flatten it. Can't you guys get your act together? And, BTW, don't you realize that the market ultimately sets the slope of the yield curve? So if you buy sell long and sell buy short, the market will do the opposite. Mr. Secretary, I get that you're trying to convince the market that you can produce low rates so the market will set low rates on its own and you won't have to show your non-existent cards. I also get that you are nervous. You certainly sounded nervous in this CNBC interview. Indeed, in some form of mental slip, you directly or indirectly mention most of the reasons. The current size and accelerating growth of federal debt, the growing cost of the Iranian war, the need to roll over federal debt at higher interest rates, the potential for inflation to take off, especially with the new round of tariffs, the loss, short and long term, of tax revenue due to OBA, the admin's failure to date to consider, let alone stay laser focused on the deficit, the CB, those tariff revenue projection that's roughly half of the admin's, the CB, those 2050 projection of federal debt equaling 150% of GDP, the fact that inflation, despite your most fervent wishes, won't drop. It's running at 3.4% per year, not the 1.9% rate of Trump's first term, the potential for the price of oil to double as the Iran war continues when the price of a gallon of regular is already one-third higher than on inauguration day, the realization that Condito NS are now set for the perfect economic storm. Of course, you, of all people, can smell panic and there are many reasons panic could take hold. Mr. Secretary, in your CNBC interview, you suggested that we ask ourselves this question, which I paraphrase, what does the Treasury Secretary know that you don't? Surely a lot. But Treasury Secretary Paulson had lots of specialized insider information in 2008. So did Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. Yet, they couldn't prevent the great financial crisis/great recession. Yes, they managed to limit the damage after 17 major US financial institutions had hit the dust. But it was too late to keep companies from shedding their largest liability, their payroll, and keep the unemployment rate from hitting 10%. What I heard in your interview was someone reaching for straws, someone publicly admitting that he and his boss have ignored our massive deficit for 18 months, but will now be laser-focused on the problem. What I heard was someone who thinks we can grow our way out of our debt crisis via an AI or other miracle of technology. Yes, that's a real possibility, but it's a long shot on which no steward of our nation's finances should count. What I heard was someone suggesting he has the power to